The Truth News Network. In a world where idiocracy is the new world order, it takes a strong voice to speak the truth. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. And your beacon of light in the tunnel of lies is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. Where, oh, where is Hillary? You know, we know from being doused with 24/7 news reports that Democrats are going after everything Donald Trump. Even after the Mueller investigation, his personal attorney, his company accountant, his tax returns, etc. That's all Democrat members of Congress are about. But now that that investigation is history, what's going on regarding all the exposed wrongdoing of numerous Democrats from the Obama administration? Think about it. National Security Advisor Susan Rice, UN Ambassador Samantha Power, FBI Director Comey, CIA Director John Brennan, DNI Head James Clapper, Justice Department Operatives Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Baker, Bruce and Nellie Orr, and that list goes on. All were implicated by hard evidence of wrongdoing revealed during the past couple of years. Are they simply going to go free, escaping penance for all the evil they participated in? Or are they going to be held accountable? Well, we know the Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz has been investigating wrongdoing in the DOJ for the last year or so. And we are told that Federal Attorney John Huber from out in Utah, since tasked by former Attorney General Jeff Sessions in November of 2017, is still investigating apparent wrongdoing by the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons regarding possible criminal actions in the Uranium One transaction with Russia. And then, of course, he's also looking into the Hillary Clinton email scandal. But we don't know exactly what the pair are specifically investigating or who, besides the names we just mentioned. And Americans, many Americans, if not most, are chomping at the bit to get the details of these two big investigations. And while all of that's going on, and while all of the noise in D.C. and the continued investigating of Donald Trump by House Democrats, what about Hillary? Hillary on a personal level. Now, I won't list all the details of the illegal acts committed by the Obama Secretary of State, and we can say that there are and were illegal acts she committed. Yes, there are some still alleged, but there's some that really did happen. Everyone knows details of enough of those to know that if an average American was found to have done even one or two of them, they'd have been charged, tried by now, convicted, and would be serving time in federal prison. So far, Hillary is bulletproof. And with all of her exposed garbage, one would expect her to be quiet, certainly away from news reporters and their cameras, and would try to just simply melt into the landscape of her former political life. But Hillary cannot and does not avoid the press.
I want to ask you about the other experience with impeachment, because you wrote in our current issue the tribute to Nancy Pelosi, whom we'll hear from a little bit later, and one of the things you said about her is that she's holding the line against the Trump administration right now in Washington. She has said it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Impeachment is not worth it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, I think everybody would like to know, whether you agree and whether the Mueller report has shifted your views at all on that.
Well, I think what Nancy means, and I agree with what she means, is that it shouldn't be a preordained conclusion. It shouldn't be what you do for partisan political purposes, almost outside the framework of the Constitution. It should be something undertaken in a really serious, diligent way, based on evidence, not on partisan advantage. And so what she's now putting in place, I think, addresses that. As I understand it, there will be many more public hearings at which people who have a role, like they did in 1974, came forward. I mean, the witnesses in 1974 were, and 73 and 74, were predominantly administration witnesses. They were John Dean, who happened to be White House counsel. So it's fully appropriate for this Congress to call Don McCann, who happens to be, or happened to be, White House counsel, and you go down the line. And what I think her argument is, you know, we want to show the American people we take our constitutional responsibilities seriously. And I agree with that absolutely. So you don't put impeachment on the table as the only item on the table and say you're going to get there no matter what, which is it's what happened in 99. Instead, you say we are going to proceed with the seriousness that this demands. And the House Judiciary Committee, if there is a sufficient, careful analysis of what's in the Mueller report and what's coming to light through congressional hearings, may well start an impeachment inquiry whose responsibility is not to prejudge the outcome, but to examine the evidence as objectively as possible, and then to draw conclusions. And if at that point they believe that high crimes and misdemeanors have been committed, then I think it is the obligation of the Congress to put forward articles of impeachment. And I think Nancy understands that kind of sweep and the care that has to be taken so that it doesn't immediately look as though you've got some preordained outcome that you're aiming to get without doing the hard work that I remember so well from my experience all those years ago.
What you heard was Hillary at Time Magazine's 100, the most 100 influential people in the previous year in the United States. Now, I was floored that Time would question Hillary about the truth of impeachment. When you look up the term political corruption, of which impeachment's all about, Hillary's picture's adjacent to the definition of the word. How and why she is given any credit by anyone regarding the validity of any information or her explanation regarding anything to do with politics, especially impeachment, is beyond human comprehension. We'll have more to say about Ms. Clinton personally a bit later in this report. You know what? Pretty much lost in the exhaustive conversations during the post-2016 election hoopla have been what's going on with investigations with the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation. The Department of Justice confirmed it received multiple referrals for criminal investigations related to Uranium One and the Foundation. One source reported that the referrals sent to the DOJ have led to ongoing investigations into the controversial deal that allowed 20% of U.S. uranium resources to be placed under the control of Moscow. The investigations also dive into allegations of pay for play at the Clinton Foundation. Now, we've all heard about those, and we've heard that there are investigations that have been instigated, and we assume they're going on as we speak. Multiple sources, including congressional officials, told Circa News that the requests sent to the DOJ have led to ongoing investigations, which they say include investigations into the alleged leaking of classified information to the media and the improper unmasking of Americans. I'd not heard that before. DOJ spokeswoman Sarah Flores stated, "The department takes seriously all allegations from Congress of criminal conduct in determining whether to open an investigation." She said further, "Requests to open an investigation would be referred to the appropriate investigative agency, such as the FBI, for review." Flores said, "All allegations are reviewed in light of the principles of federal prosecution. And while some may find it frustrating at times, the department has a policy against confirming or denying the existence of investigations in order to maintain the integrity of the process until and if charges are filed." How many times have we heard that disclaimer? Man, during the Mueller investigation, we heard it over and over and over and over again. Can't confirm, but won't deny. But something came up. Do you remember, and you may have heard about it, but forgot by now, that FBI bombshell witness? Remember a year ago, it was revealed the FBI uncovered a massive bribery, corruption, and racketeering scheme before the Obama administration approved the Uranium One deal? The last news we heard came shortly after the Trump DOJ cleared a confidential informant for the FBI to testify before Congress on Uranium One. That testimony did occur behind closed doors in a classified setting. That decision lifted an unprecedented non-disclosure agreement, allowing him to testify about what he witnessed undercover surrounding Russia's efforts to corner the global uranium market. It was expected to also prove damning to Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Let me repeat that. I don't know if you got that. In his blockbuster testimony before Congress, it was expected his testimony would prove damning to Special Counsel Robert Mueller, who ran the FBI during what numerous experts say appears to be a scheme to cover up potential crimes resulting from the deal. Then U.S. Attorney Rod Rosenstein, who is now the deputy AG, and the man who appointed Mr. Mueller, oversaw that investigation. Coincidence, maybe? And let me just throw a little tidbit out there that will blow your mind. When the Uranium One deal was underway and negotiations were ongoing, to kind of close the deal, especially when examining and talking about the exact uranium, the uranium deposits that would be part of the deal, they had to pick somebody highly classified and very trustworthy to take that uranium sample, the actual sample, to Moscow for the Russian scientists to investigate. You know who took that uranium to Russia? Robert Mueller. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who was a former chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, called for another special counsel to investigate the Obama-Clinton era deal, particularly given Mr. Mueller's role in that investigation. While his committee launched a probe as well, only the powers granted to a federal prosecutor can get to the bottom of what appears to be a clear-cut Clinton quid pro quo. A growing number of lawmakers in both the House and Senate joined Grassley in that call, and I wonder where that investigation stands, especially in light of the Mueller connection. Now, won't that be something? We find out there were some shenanigans going on there, especially after we just finished with 2.5 years and $35 million U.S. taxpayer dollars in the Mueller investigation. FBI documents show that Vadim Mikhorin, the director of Rosatom's 10X in Moscow, was engaged in illegal activity as early as the fall of 2009. Now, Rosatom is that Russian company that ended up owning the uranium deposits from the United States. That uranium first went to a Canadian company, and then it was sold to Rosatom's. As part of that scheme, Mikhorin, with the consent of higher-level officials at 10X and Rosatom, both are Russian state-owned entities, would offer no-bid contracts to U.S. businesses in exchange for kickbacks in the form of money payments made to some offshore bank accounts. That was quoted by David Gadron, an agent of the FBI. Mikhorin apparently then shared the proceeds with other co-conspirators associated with 10X in Russia and elsewhere. However, the Obama administration still allowed Mikhorin to enter the country with an L-1 temporary work visa, even with all that going on. At the time, the FBI gathered substantial evidence against him and the Russian plot to corner the global uranium market. Worth noting, the Uranium One deal did not permit the exporting of the material out of the U.S., but unknown quantities have been exported to unknown nations and parties. And who knows where the uranium went from there? It went from the United States to Canada. And just imagine where it went from Canada. Think some of that may be in Russia? Incidentally, when calls were made to the FBI for updates on the status of the Uranium One Clinton Foundation investigation, guess what? They won't comment. They won't even commit that there is or is not such an investigation underway. We're just getting started, folks. We got more ahead. You sit tight. It gets better, it gets deeper, it gets more interesting. Bill and Hillary, especially Hillary, That's just ahead at truthnewsnet.org.
Spin free, collusion free, obstruction free, fake news free, gluten free. Dan Newman, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did the little piggy cry wee, wee, wee all the way home?
Wee! Wee, wee, wee! Wee! Wee!
Max.
Wee, wee, wee!
Maxa!
Yeah?
You're home.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Mrs. A.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hi, I'm Jet Williams. Even though I never knew my father, Hank Williams, his legacy taught me the meaning of lending a helping hand. That's why I support the Orphan Foundation of America. OFA is committed to providing education, mentoring, and a workplace readiness for thousands of teens aging out of the foster care system. With the help of OFA's support programs, these young people can go to college and trade school, graduate, and make the leap from foster care to success. To learn how you can help, visit orphan.org.
Married to the truth, divorced from the lies, fighting for the future. TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org. And again, Dan Newman.
Before we get started on the second half of today's show, let me just welcome aboard all of our new friends from Eastern Europe. We've had a plethora of subscribers from Russia. Yes, Moscow, Russia, from Moscow State University, as part of their political science, international political science class, have been listening and reading our reports every day. We want to welcome you in, and we hope that you are learning a lot about the conservative perspective of U.S. politics. So let's get going. How and what do we know about Hillary and Bill's use of her State Department job? While Hillary was Obama's Secretary of State, Bill Clinton's office proposed 215 speeches around the globe during his wife's tenure at State. And 215 times, the State Department stated that it had no objection. There are more than 200 conflict of interest reviews by State Department ethics advisors. These reviews considered speaking engagements and consulting arrangements proposed by Bill speaking during Hillary's tenure as Secretary of State. They were all green-lighted. Shock, huh? These documents also show that the State Department approved a consulting arrangement with a company, Teneo Strategy, led by controversial Clinton Foundation advisor Doug Band. The Clintons ended that deal after just 8 months as criticism mounted over Teneo's ties to the failed investment firm MF Global. So we know that the Obama administration's judgment as to what constitutes a conflict of interest was skewed. And that's putting it nicely. Still, Bill was really busy on the speaking tour. Let's take a quick look at where President Clinton, former President Clinton, took his business and the types of companies that were involved. Appearances in China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the UAE, Central America, Europe, Turkey, Thailand, Taiwan, India, and the Cayman Islands. Sponsors of the speeches included some of the world's largest financial institutions, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, American Express, and others, as well as major players in technology, energy, healthcare, and media. Other speech sponsors included a car dealership, casino groups, hotel operators, retailers, real estate brokers, a Panamanian air cargo company, and a sushi restaurant. And again, zero objections from the Obama administration. How the Obama State Department waived hundreds of ethical conflicts that allowed the Clintons and their businesses to accept hard dollars from foreign entities and corporations seeking influence boggles the mind. That former President Clinton trotted the globe collecting huge speaking fees while his wife presided over U.S. foreign policy is an outrage. Clinton earned $48 million while his wife presided over U.S. foreign policy, raising questions about whether the Clintons fulfilled ethics agreements related to the Clinton Foundation during Ms. Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. That main ethics agreement Hillary signed when accepting her appointment as Obama's secretary, Hillary and Bill both committed the Clinton Foundation would accept no funds, no contributions from any foreign entities. Foreign entities, that means governments and foreign companies while she was in office. Saudi Arabia gave $10 million to $25 million. That's the range in their financial disclosure at the foundation. Other government donors include Norway, Kuwait, Qatar, Brunei, Oman. No known discussions with any in the Obama White House and no known disclosure by the Clintons as these foreign donations hit the foundation's account. Now your answer to what about Hillary? Just yesterday, it was released by Judicial Watch that a slew of those missing Hillary emails, can you believe we haven't even talked about them today? Remember those 30,000 or so deleted emails that dealt with just yoga and Chelsea's wedding plans? You remember those? They've been discovered. And here is the report. Judicial Watch announced that a senior FBI official admitted in writing and in oath, under oath, that the agency found Clinton email records in the Obama White House. Did you get that? They found the Clinton email records in the Obama White House, specifically in the executive office of the president. The FBI also admitted nearly 49,000 Clinton server emails were reviewed as a result of a search warrant for her material on the laptop of Uma Abedin's husband, Anthony Weiner. Bill Priestap, assistant director of the FBI Counterintelligence Division, made the disclosure to Judicial Watch as part of court-ordered discovery into the Clinton email issue. U.S. District Court Judge Royce Lamberth ordered Obama administration senior State Department officials, lawyers, and Clinton aides, as well as Priestap, to be deposed or answer written questions under oath. The court ruled that the Clinton email system was, quote, one of the gravest modern offenses to government transparency. We hadn't heard about that, have we? Until yesterday. Uh-oh. Hillary just may be in some trouble. But the trouble for Ms. Clinton got just a bit worse. This astonishing confirmation made under oath by the FBI shows that the Obama FBI had to go to President Obama's White House office to find emails that Hillary tried to destroy or hide from the American people, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. No wonder Hillary Clinton has thus far skated. And listen to this line from his report. Barack Obama is implicated in her email scheme. Wow. Let's be honest. So far, almost without exception, the Clintons have been bulletproof. They've escaped virtually unscathed in multiple investigations, Bill, even from impeachment, and have avoided any nasty prosecution, even though they've been the subjects of even many more look-sees than any of us know about. For 30 years, the Clintons have been the darlings of the left. Bill's tenure as Arkansas Attorney General, then Governor, then U.S. President, and Hillary's as a big-shot lawyer in Arkansas, First Lady, New York U.S. Senator, two-time presidential candidate, and Secretary of State have all been marked with innumerable allegations of wrongdoing, shading dealings with shady characters, infidelity, adultery, misuse of funds, skirting the law, and now probable obstruction of justice. And that list is only a part of what they've been done. What's going to happen to Hillary? I think it would be foolish for anyone to speculate at there being any serious accountability in store for her wrongs. Why? She's never been touched for any of her wrongdoing. If it happens now, the accountability, it will be a first. Let me wrap this all up today by saying this. The fact that a former president, former U.S. Senator and Secretary of State, a two-time presidential candidate, and the principals in a massive charitable foundation could have, through a couple of decades, involved themselves in all of the above chicanery and many, many more not even mentioned, and never paid any type of legal penalty for any of it. That is virtually, in American history, impossible. But more than that, it's a sad tale about how deep, wide, and massive is the U.S. world of political corruption that is centered in Washington, but operates at 100% in all 50 states and in numerous countries around the world. And we in the United States, when confronted with the tidbits of news about it we hear, always seem to turn a deaf ear. We may get mad for a bit, but it all seems to go away. Some of the things we've mentioned here today, you've heard before, but you've forgotten about them or you've put them to the side in your busy life. That can be the only reason why Hillary has never paid any price for all that she has done. There are a couple of principles I'll close by mentioning. You may have heard this one before. Be sure your sins will find you out. That's from Numbers 32 and 23, over there in the Old Testament in the Bible. Also from the Old Testament, Genesis 8:22. Listen closely to this one. This is one of my favorites. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Okay, the big one in there, and the only one of those things that God promised Noah would never go away as long as the earth endured, that was something that man controlled. God controlled cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. But the one that will never go away is what men do. It's seed time and harvest. What that means is we always get in life the fruit of the exact seed we sow. When we plant watermelon seeds, folks, the only thing that will grow is what? Watermelons. Hillary has planted a bunch of bad seed. And I'm pretty sure, we're close to harvest time. Wonder what Hillary fruit is going to pop up first. Hey, thank you for joining us here today. The week is full of all kinds of news politically. We'll be back tomorrow with much more. Be here at truthnewsnet.org. Till then, have a great day. So long, everybody.
Telling the stories the mainstream press doesn't want you to hear. Dan Newman, TNN,
The Truth News Network.